Coming up on the show, we have a made-up movie from a listener. The Golden Globe winners have been announced, and we have some awesome Arrested Development news. We're also looking at a new Ninja Turtles start date for filming and some crazy Star Wars rumors. This is the Fanboys XL podcast, and it's 2013. Take it away.
Talk nerdy to me.
My calculations are correct.
Welcome to Fanboys XL.
Don't cross the streams.
Warning!
You are now listening to
the Fanboys XL podcast.
This is Bane from the League of Shadows, and you're listening to the Fanboys XL podcast. The epic rises, brother.
Hello and welcome to the Fanboys XL podcast, the podcast for everything geek and nerdy and pop culture today. I am your host, Bob Fournier, and joining me on the other end, you know him, you love him, you hate him. Beard or no beard, I do all three. It's Rick Piven.
I have a beard, it's just not epic. It's a short beard, Bob.
Oh, short beard.
Come on now. All right. Now, Bob, marked as a sexual stimulant for thousands of years, the Spanish fly is a European blister beetle that has been dried, crushed, and consumed. But doing so can cause painful urination, fever, and permanent damage to the kidneys and the genitals.
Why?
So what I want to know is, how is it a sexual stimulant if it fucks your junk up?
I mean, hey, use this, it's a sexual stimulant. Oh, by the way, the side effects, you'll ruin your sex life forever.
Right?
Oh, that
sounds
bad.
And it's a little bug that you're eating.
I always thought that that was a rumor. Like, I never, like, for the longest time when people talked about it, I was like, is this even, like, a real thing? Like,
yeah.
And, I mean, isn't that what Viagra's for?
I don't know, Bob. I've never used Viagra.
Me either, Rick. Me either.
Well, in case you wanted to know, Spanish Fly is bad for you, and welcome to the Fanboys XL podcast. And then, Rick, it's 2013, and we're back.
Woo! About
time. Yeah, I know. Took a couple weeks. Hiatus there after all of our holiday episodes, but it feels good.
Yes, it does.
I am glad we're back. We're dealing with a few audio issues here, so don't worry about it if our first show back isn't as, what's the word?
This is epic.
Oh, that's what it was.
Nice.
Also would like to thank Coltrane from Convert to Raid podcast.
Now, Bob, I was going to say, if the drinking game is people take a drink when you say epic, does it count if Coltrane says epic?
I believe it should.
This is epic.
All right, cool.
We also had a nice introduction from Bane there, which is great.
Yeah, it was a good thing we got a hold of him. I mean,
it was tough.
Right before he died.
Yeah, you could actually see Rick in the background of The Dark Knight Rises trying to get him to do a little sound clip interview thing.
Yeah, I interviewed him right before Catwoman shot him with a giant cannon. It would have exploded anybody.
But he's Bane.
Yeah, especially since it was a gun on Batman's motorcycle.
Right?
Batman doesn't use guns.
Yeah. I have a question. You know what? We can get into that for a different show about Batman and the bunch of loopholes I've been watching in there. I do want to start out by saying I finally watched The Hobbit.
Yes.
And we've been talking for a while on the show about whether The Hobbit is going to be too much for three parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this. At some points, it is draggy. Okay? It kind of makes you, like, it kind of gets dragged out for a little bit. But not to the point where it's not unwatchable.
Yeah, I heard there's a lot of walking. But then again, if anybody watched any of the other three Lord of the Rings movies, there's a lot of walking.
There's always a lot of walking. But it's entertaining. Like, it really is entertaining. And, like, at first I was kind of like, I can't deal with three shows or three movies of this. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be too much. And then, you know, kind of listening or watching the movie, I could see it working. It might still drag depending on how the other two come out.
Yeah.
But I definitely would enjoy or I would recommend and enjoy that movie for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Nice.
And definitely catch it in theaters before it leaves.
Yeah. I'm going to do a two-part review pretty soon on the show. Telling you now.
Yes, thank you.
I'm watching The Dark Knight Returns, the new animated Batman movie.
Oh, yes, yes.
And part two comes out on the 29th, so in 2 weeks. So next week I'll review part one, and then the week after I'll review part two.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Got to do more of that stuff on the show.
I love me some Batman, and this is supposed to be amazing. So I know I have the comic. It's on my computer. I haven't read it yet. So my problem is, they're always like, oh, these old comics, it's the best Batman story ever. And then I look at it, and I'm like, I hate the art style. Like, old comic book art style, I'm just not a fan. So I have a hard time, even though the story is supposed to be the best story ever, I just have a hard time reading stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does get hard to read. And I mean, I don't know, like, we should try and do more reviews of stuff like that throughout episodes. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like it. So let's start the show like we do any other show with some weird news. And, I have a feeling yours is going to win yet again, but mine's pretty good.
I'm good at this game.
Mine is pretty good. Okay.
Cow poop cobra.
Yes, my title. Cow dung cobra, 880-pound sculpture of frozen poo made.
Gross.
What do you think of that?
It's fucking gross.
Yes, poop art is what they're calling it. Where is this? It's in Russia, of course.
Well, yeah.
880 pounds of frozen cow dung, Rick, and they made a giant cobra. It looks like it's, you know, all coiled up, and then a cobra at the top, and they even added in like a poop tongue and some crazy looking eyes. This thing is huge.
What I think's funny is it says the 52-year-old father used spare dung. Like, he has spare dung? Like,
this is the dung.
Is he a dung barn?
Yeah, this is the dung I need. This is the dung you can have.
Apparently this also wasn't his first go at dung sculpting. This is in 2008, he made a winged serpent for the Year of the Dragon.
Ew. Well, here's the thing, too. Like, it says, hey, don't worry, they don't last through the spring, so they don't have to worry about the smell. But seriously, I'm sure that still smells. It's gotta smell, dude. It's 880 pounds of poop.
And can you imagine, because like, it's winter over there right now, but you know what? It's winter here, too. And it's been like below zero every day. But on Monday, it was 56 degrees up here.
I know,
it was warm as shit. So that shit would smell horrible on that day.
Just picture this. You're walking down the street, 880 pounds of poop just sitting there. And you're like, hey, what's going on? It's bigger than me.
Yeah.
Bigger than me. So yeah, I started off 2013 with a poop joke.
Nice.
That's how I am.
I'm going to start 2013 with a blowjob joke.
Here we go. All right.
All right. A middle school math teacher, Mary Maloney, allegedly offered oral sex to a police officer after being nabbed for a hit and run in Palm Beach Country, Florida.
Thank you, Florida.
Maloney, 53, was arrested Sunday after she crashed her van into a pickup truck at 8:30 at night, took off, according to the arrest report obtained by the Sun Sentinel. I'm going to learn how to read this here.
Yes, we'll be good.
A witness to the crash tracked Maloney's car to a parking spot and then called the police. The arresting officer said he found an empty gallon jug of wine behind Maloney's driver's seat.
That's classic.
Who buys a jug of wine?
That's classic.
It comes
it's
in
Florida.
A bottle or a box.
That's Florida.
A jug. Immediately smelled the strong odor of an alcoholic beverage emitting from her person.
Well, you know what, though? A hit and run charge, that should solve everything. Like,
right?
This teacher also looks like a wreck. I don't want her teaching my kids.
Right, she looks like she should have retired like 10 years ago.
Yeah, an empty gallon jug of wine. That's so classy.
Don't take away my gallon jug of wine.
Yeah, is she? What kind of teacher is she? High school, middle school?
Middle school math.
Middle school
teacher.
Math. Okay. Thank you, Florida. I also feel kind of bad because our email listener comes from Florida, but yeah.
It's funny because she's a math teacher, so I guess teacher plus gallon jug of wine plus offering blowjob equals going to jail.
I applaud your math effort, Rick. I'm going to applaud it, but I don't know if I get it. Well, as per usual, thank you, Florida. Rick, you're going to go ahead and we'll give you the
best news of the week in my eyes.
Because that's just messed up. Although the cow poop is pretty good.
Cow poop is pretty good.
It is. Yours
might
is just,
be tied this week.
Yeah, yours is just a little messed up.
You still haven't won, but we're tied.
I'll get there eventually. I'll find one. All right, I'm excited, though, because we got a lot of news to talk about, so let's break it down.
Good evening, ladies and
gentlemen. That sounds like something out of science.
I'd like to have a calm discussion.
That means it's time...
Geek Out.
That's right. I got all these great voices. I have to use them. The Golden Globe. The winners have been announced, Rick.
Yes, they have.
It was actually a really good year of movies, too, when you think about it. Not just for nerds, but just for everyone in general. We had, well, mostly for nerds, too, when you think about it.
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of crazy geeky movies winning a lot of stuff from the Golden Globes, but that's because it's the Golden Globes.
Right.
But we do have quite a few. Like, Ben Affleck, we were talking before the show, has gone from the worst person in Hollywood to, like, one of the best directors out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, The Town was amazing, so...
Absolutely.
I really want to see Argo.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say it's amazing. It's a great movie. And that Argo won Best Drama this year, last year, technically, but... and it was up against a few really popular ones, like Lincoln, Django Unchained there.
See, I thought Lincoln was going to win.
Yeah.
Lincoln, I mean, it's got Daniel Day-Lewis in it. Come on.
Yeah, and it's Lincoln.
He wins everything.
Yeah.
The next category confuses me. How can you have best musical / comedy in the same thing and have Les Mis win?
Because Les Mis...
But it's not a comedy. It's called... The Miserable is what it stands for.
Yeah.
So how can musical and comedy be the same category?
Well, it's because no one cares about either category.
I do want to see Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, that looks good. You have some of your like movies that seem like they were made just for the Golden Globes or Oscars, like Silver Linings Playbook with Bradley Cooper, stuff like that. But Les Mis, obviously, I think everyone knew was going to take it out.
Yeah.
People have been going crazy about that movie.
I think that's the only musical in that category.
Yeah, and then actually Ben Affleck also beat out Steven Spielberg, Quentin Tarantino, and a couple others for Best Director for Argo, too.
Yeah, think about it. He did Geely and Jersey Girl.
He's come a long way.
He's Daredevil. He's come a long way from shitty movies to all of a sudden being Best Director.
Yeah, well, Tarantino's film won Best Screenplay for Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I haven't seen it. I kind of want to, but I'm also very worried about Tarantino universes. And
I want to see it. I heard it's awesome. I heard it's super, super slavey.
Yes, yes. That's a lot of stuff I've been hearing, too. Now, the crazy one, one of the other ones I want to talk about is Best Animated Feature. And there was a lot in 2012.
Right.
A lot of animated features. You had your Frankenweenies, your Hotel Transylvanias, the big one, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah,
Which I thought was a surefire winner, but Brave took it out.
Yeah, well, Brave's a Pixar movie, so it's got really good storytelling. I mean, all Pixar movies could be live-action movies because the story's that strong.
Oh, yeah, and I watched Brave with my daughter, and nothing to take away from Brave. It's an excellent movie. It's a great film, but I was like, wow, Wreck-It Ralph was so popular when everyone was talking about
right.
it.
Right. See, that's the problem, though, is it was really popular and it was really good, but the awards are given to the better of the movies. So I guess even if Wreck-It Ralph made billions of dollars and Brave made $0, it would still be dependent all on the script and all that on that shit.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's a good choice. Brave was a really good movie.
And my favorite thing is the best original song, Skyfall.
Oh, Adele took out... there was some controversy about that, too. Did you hear about that?
No.
So Adele takes out Taylor Swift, I believe, was in the category.
Yeah.
I don't see it on here, but... Oh, yeah, right here, Safe and Sound from The Hunger Games.
As Ralph Garman on Hollywood Babylon calls her, Tadolf Swittler.
Tadolf Swittler. so they show the winner, and they announce Skyfall. Adele wins, which is awesome, because that song... I don't like Adele, but I love that song.
The song's so good.
Yeah, and she wins Best Music for the movie. And they cut to Taylor Swift, and she's like kind of clapping and smiling. And then I think that they thought that they cut away from her because her face went from happy smiling to like evil glare at you Adele eyes like it looked like she was gonna kill her. And
Did Kanye West jump up there and go, you know, Adele, your song was good, Taylor Swift was better?
Yeah, Taylor Swift, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna let you finish. Was this the one hosted by Olivia Munn?
I didn't watch it
because
I don't have cable.
Yeah, that's right. Someone told me that she tried to make a Kanye West joke.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was in this one. I heard there was a lot of funny stuff going on, though, because, like, Tommy Lee Jones got caught. Like, they made fun of something, and, like, everyone in the studio or the audience was laughing, and Tommy Lee Jones just looked like he was going to kill someone. Just like that Tommy Lee Jones face.
Yeah.
If you get into the television category, though, have you ever seen a show called Girls?
No, it's on HBO, so it's probably raunchy.
Yeah, and there's a show on Showtime called Homeland.
Yes.
They pretty much just took all of television over.
I heard Homeland is awesome.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis? No. What's his name?
No.
his name. I thought it started with a Damian Lewis. That's what it was. It's close.
They both had a D and a Lewis in it.
Yeah, I was really hoping to see some stuff for Jeff Daniels in the newsroom, because if you remember a while back, I talked about the newsroom and how much I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Didn't win. But Homeland won Best Actor, Best TV Drama. But Girls...
Best Actress.
Girls took out a lot of like the... Like, you have Best TV Comedy or Musical category again.
Yeah.
You have Modern Family, which is huge. Smash, Episodes, The Big Bang Theory, and Girls. Girls took all them out.
Yeah.
Well,
and hasn't Modern Family won best TV Comedy for, like, the past, like, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, and I...
They're not even nominated this year.
Or is it? Right there. Well, they...
Oh, yeah, it is nominated.
Yeah, okay. It's nominated, but they didn't win. Girls took it out. And
I was looking at Best Actress.
The weird thing, too, is I think I just started watching... No, I started watching Parenthood with Melina.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a drama comedy thing, dramedy, which is pretty cool. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the miniseries Hatfield and McCoys?
No, but I heard it was awesome.
It was amazing.
Was it?
Yeah. Kevin Costner was great in it. What's his face there? The other guy.
Keep asking the person who hasn't watched it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's his name there? He's the other old guy in Hollywood. But Kevin Costner was great in it. They didn't win Best Miniseries, but he won Best Actor in the role, which is pretty cool. All in all, I haven't seen a lot of these shows. I don't watch a lot of them. It's the Golden Globes, so right. I don't really hold it to heart. There was a People's Choice Awards, too.
Yeah.
I know the Big Bang Theory took out, like, How I Met Your Mother for Best Comedy and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nerds everywhere rejoice. But, that's the Golden Globe winner list, which is pretty pretty interesting this year that it's all HBO, Showtime stuff. And
yeah, well, I mean, that's where they can do all the good shows, because HBO and stuff, they're not worried about viewers as regular TV is, because regular TV, like Walking Dead and all that stuff, they need the viewers, where HBO, it's a paid channel, so they're already getting the money. So five people could watch it, and they're still getting, you know, still getting money from everyone who subscribes to that channel.
Yeah, a couple things surprised me with that is The Walking Dead wasn't nominated for anything.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. I didn't really see them on there.
Yeah.
Which was really surprising, because as different as Game of Thrones is, it's so popular.
Like, oh, yeah.
You think that it would have been on there.
So popular that I can't wait for March, because that's when it comes back.
It's coming soon, buddy, and Walking Dead's coming back soon.
Yeah,
but before
is.
We get into that Walking Dead news we have, you never watched Arrested Development, correct?
Nope.
Well,
is it on Netflix?
It was. It should still be. But
I'll check it
here's
out.
The best part.
What?
Netflix zeroed in on a date when they can expect the new episodes of Arrested Development. And if I read this correctly, because it's a straight-to-Netflix season.
Yeah.
Okay. If I read this correctly, all 14 episodes are going to drop right at once.
Weird.
Also, the people at Netflix have been kind of like preluding, like kind of saying, hey, there might be a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is awesome for all Arrested Development fans. If you haven't seen it, like Rick, you need to watch Arrested Development. Bateman.
I just put it in my queue.
Excellent.
Even though it only has 1 star on Netflix.
Well, you need to change that to 4 or 5 or 9. 9, because it's an amazing show.
9!
Jason Bateman is amazing. Everyone on the cast plays such good characters. It's amazing. Like, it's one of those shows where it's like a quick 20-minute watch per episode kind of thing, and you just... Boom. Like, you're falling in love, and it's just hilarious. So it's good to finally get a date on the Netflix season. I'm glad it's coming back. It's one of those fans find it so popular kind of shows, you know, that they bring it back. Like, remember Family Guy went away for a while?
Yeah, same thing with Futurama. Futurama went away for, like, 6 years.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and that was gone for a while, and now it's on a completely different
Futurama,
network.
Futurama, by the way, is a really good show.
Oh, I love it. I just finally finished the newest season that was on Netflix. The only thing that pisses me off about Netflix is Futurama, when it was on TV, season 5 was those 4 movies they came out with.
Mm-hmm.
And on Netflix, season 5 is season 6.
Oh, so they don't put the movies out there.
You have to go search the movies to watch them separately. So if you don't know that, you lose all that content.
Yeah. I don't know. I was actually kind of really liking digging that show. You know what I hate about Netflix, too?
Everything.
This is what I hate about Netflix, but it's also the best thing about Netflix. You're sitting there, you're playing WoW, you're doing something on the computer, you got Netflix playing, and it says, hey, and you're like, I'm just going to watch one more episode.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Netflix is like, hey, just for you, I'm going to start the next episode in about 10 seconds. Are you cool with that?
Right?
And then I'm like, all right, I guess I'll watch one more.
Yeah. See, I like that because if I'm laying down on the couch and I don't feel like moving my ass,
oh yeah,
it goes right to the next
That's
episode.
That's when it's great. You're laying in bed, you're watching Netflix on TV, and you're like, ugh. Oh. Where's my remote? Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's great. Yeah, no, it's great for us lazy people.
Yeah.
Let's also get into Walking Dead news. And I know we do a little zombie podcast. We might bring it up on the next episode of that, too.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you about that and play a little Guess the Zombie episode here. Because they have announced the full schedule for AMC's new season in February of The Walking Dead. Season 3, right?
Yes. The second half.
Yeah. Second half of season 3. So... here we go. We have episode titles, everybody, and we have to kind of figure out what's going on here. So the first episode is called The Suicide King.
Yep.
Wow. Is that the assault, you think?
Out of all the episodes, that's the only one that has a description, and that's about the governor plans an assault against the prison.
Right, and we kind of got a little bit of a foreshadow of that when he was talking at the end of the last season finale.
Yeah.
Episode 10 is called Home, which I can only imagine...
could mean anything.
Yeah, this is what I was like reading these, and like episode 11 is called "I Ain't a Judas."
I Ain't a Judas has got to be something to do with Merle.
It's got
to be something to do because Judas stabbed Jesus in the back, essentially, right in the Bible.
I believe so. I'm not. He was like a religious person, but
well, I think Judas was like a friend, but he actually was a douchebag.
It also says "ain't," which is a Merle word.
it's either a Merle or a Daryl word.
Yeah.
That southern rednecky.
Oh, that could be it too. You know, they thought he stabbed his brother in the back, maybe because he left him there.
Maybe
so he ain't a Judas, but I mean, who knows? That's probably going to focus a lot on the brother relationship in episode 11.
Yeah,
episode 12 is called Clear. Thank
not
you.
Helpful.
Episode 13 is called Pale Horse.
Still not helpful.
I believe there's something behind a pale horse, but I don't remember the complete story.
Yeah.
14 is called Killer Within Part 2.
Where's Part 1?
Exactly. Was that in the previous season?
I'm looking it up right now, so keep going.
Okay, and episode 15 is called This Sorrowful Life, which has a special director, which is going to be aired March 24th. And episode 16 is called Welcome to the Tombs. You can only kind of think that maybe they leave the prison, maybe something happens, maybe they go somewhere else.
Maybe. The Killer Within Part 1 is episode 4 in season 3.
Okay, yeah, so it's from the first season.
No.
From the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing. I wonder if that's about the governor.
It's gotta be. I think that episode was all about the governor and Andrea and all that stuff, and that's when she was learning about everything about the governor. My guess is this one's going to be, like, pretty much this is when the governor is going to get shit's going to happen.
Yeah, he's going to go absolutely crazy and try and kill everyone. I think it's cool that they released the titles and kind of gave you kind of an insight. You know what I mean? But they know it's not enough.
I think it's cool, too, that the episode 15, The Sorrowful Life, is directed by Greg Nicotero, which is the guy who does all the special effects makeup.
Yeah,
and he does like all the old horror movies, like Jason and all those movies. So
yeah, it should be good. This season, I'm really excited about this season. I know we talked about it on Zamp, but I'm so excited about this show and coming back this season because it's getting in such a good direction.
Oh yeah,
we saw a lot from the promo trailers about, you know, Rick and Herschel yelling it out. You know, Rick's still going crazy because, like, you know, he saw Shane last week, Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget about that. I mean, there's just so much. Like, think about this drama. Two brothers, one abandoned the other. They finally meet up, and they both look like they're going to be killed. A woman finds out that her whole camp is still alive. We have a new character who is a complete badass with Tyrese. Rick and Herschel arguing. Carl getting involved. There's just so much that's going to happen with this show.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, February and March for me. You know, you have Walking Dead, Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I'm not leaving my room. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Stephen King's Under the Dome.
Yes, one of the best books I've ever read.
Yes, giant book, by the way.
Yeah, it's a tome.
It's a giant book. You have to read it in parts, but it is available on Audible.com.
It is,
which is also, I think it was read by someone, which is pretty cool.
Well, usually books that are audiobooks are read by someone, Bob.
Well, I said read by someone pretty cool, but I can't remember. Someone was discussing it on another podcast I was listening to. So if you're a fan of audiobooks, check it out. But we have a premiere date.
Yes.
13 episodes.
What makes me nervous is it's going to be seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And the ending, if you ever read the book or read the ending is a complete mindfuck.
The ending is the best part of that giant book. Like,
oh, and the coolest thing is to get Brian K. Vaughan writing the series, and he wrote Lost,
yeah,
which had a fucked up ending.
So you already know.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, online somewhere, someone has compiled an entire compilation of Lost episodes, and they put them in chronological order.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so, excuse me, you listen to all of them, or watch all of them, in chronological order. Like, he's gone, like, episode one you're watching is the last episode, because it's the first episode, technically.
Yeah.
And then you go through, like, I started watching, and I'm like, oh my god, Lost makes sense when you watch it in order. But this guy put in, like, hundreds of hours to figure out which episodes go where.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts, dude. I'll find the link. Maybe I'll put it on the website for everyone. But yeah,
I'm gonna be rewatching that show soon anyway, since I have all kinds of free time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a show too where you can actually watch it over again and kind of realize. But this time, maybe we'll try and watch it in order from like
what episode
they list together. It's all on Netflix. So
yeah, well, I have it on DVD.
Oh yeah, well, you're cool. I almost bought that crazy Blu-ray.
Don't you have it on DVD too?
I have it on DVD. Yes, but I wanted the Blu-ray package, but Linda didn't let me.
All right, so back to Stephen King Under the Dome.
Sorry.
So yeah, season one's going to premiere on Monday, June 24th. I'm wicked excited, except for the fact that I don't have cable.
Yeah, you're going to have to find a way to watch this.
So I'll be watching it either ways. And it's going to be on...
CBS.
So CBS has a lot of stuff on their website, so I'm sure we'll be able to watch it there.
Yeah, you might be able to.
Isn't Big Bang Theory on CBS?
Yep, and you can watch that online.
You can watch it online. So I'm assuming after the episode airs, it'll be on their website.
Yeah, I'm clearing my calendar for this date. I can't wait for this premiere. I can't wait for us to review it on the show because obviously we're both big fans of the book.
Oh, yeah. It makes me want to reread it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, it makes me want to go back and read it again.
If you had 4 years.
It only took me like a month to read that book.
Yeah, it took me 4 years.
Sorry.
Well, let's get into a little bit of some weird, depressing news. Ninja Turtles.
I don't want this to be made.
Ninja Turtles. They're starting to shoot in April.
Yay.
We've gone from no to bad script to maybe to CGI to, yeah, okay, we'll start filming it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want
this Michael Bay movie to be made.
We are all worried.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah, he's only the producer, there's a different director, but still, he's still got his hand in there.
His hands are going to be really involved in this movie. We're all very worried as huge Ninja Turtle fans. Kids growing up in the 80s, you know what we're talking about.
I mean, the only thing that I think... the problem is we're thinking Michael Bay, Transformers, explosions, all that shit. But think Michael Bay, maybe...
Bad Boys,
and that new movie he's coming out, I think it's Pain and Gain with The Rock and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh,
it's
not,
yeah. It's like a heist bodybuilder movie. But it's not Transformers.
Michael Bay can make great movies.
Yeah, I'm just hoping this is one of them, but I'm not positive.
But usually when he takes something like this, you know what I mean? Like, something that we all know, and he kind of just wants to put a Michael Bay twist on it, and he's like, I'm going to change it up, and they're going to be aliens.
Look, if he puts the Technodrome in the movie, I'll watch it. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, we're good at that point.
Technodrome shows up, I'm theater first at the door. I don't care if they're aliens. I don't care if it's all CG. If I see the Technodrome, I'm there.
Yeah, also, the new TMNT animated show.
Awesome.
Can't get enough of that.
Oh, I love that.
We have a Nick Jr. app on Windows 8.
Yep.
And we have Hulu Plus. Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of Ninja Turtles in lately. It's great. it's amazing. It's such a great show. But back to the movie. It's going to start shooting in April, so we're probably looking at what? Like a 2015 release?
2016? Maybe 2014 summer.
You think so? 1 year?
Yeah, it's a lot of CG. It's going to be a lot of computer work.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really worried. I want this to be good, and I want to be able to bring like someone like my daughter to go see a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Right.
But I just feel like it's not going to be the same. Like when we went and saw it as kids, you know? And I think that's what's holding me back is like... When Ninja Turtles came out, we were what, like, in our either teens or young preteens?
Well, the cartoon came out in the early 90s when we were preteens. Ninja Turtles came out in the 80s. The comic book, I think, came out in, like, 84, 85.
Right.
Maybe, or maybe even 89. But the movie, yeah, that probably came out when we were, like,
11.
If I wasn't 12. Sitting in front of this internet.
Yeah, I mean, when we saw those movies in theaters, they were kid movies that were generated towards us, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with like Transformers, where it's like, oh, it's
1990.
Yeah,
so I was six.
I was five.
Yeah.
But they were geared towards us being that age. Like we went to see them in theaters, and they were amazing.
You know what else is crazy? The second one came out the next year.
Oh, I think we talked about this once.
It didn't come out like 5 years after. It came out the next year, and then number three came out 2 years later because they needed plenty of time to shit all over that one.
Ugh, don't get me started. But we'll see. Like with Transformers, it was like one of those things where like that you took something from my childhood and you made it weird. Don't do it again, please. Let's get into a little Star Wars news, actually.
Okay.
We had some rumors come out about Zack Snyder. Snack Snyder.
Snack Snyder.
So everyone was talking about him making a Star Wars samurai movie for Lucasfilms.
That's awesome.
Zack Snyder was like, what? No.
It would be so awesome, though.
Especially, like, you see pictures and stuff of, like, the Darth Vader samurai. It would be an amazing concept of a movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
It would be great.
All right, but how do you do it? Do they get transported back in time? Or is it just a whole separate series?
Oh, no. It's either a separate series or just look at the difference between the prequels and the originals, the tech that they have.
Yes.
So what if the samurai tech is just that age's tech? Like whenever that happens.
Ah.
It could be just that's the next evolution of their tech.
See, now that would be sweet. That would be amazing.
Yeah, because they couldn't just go back in time because Star Wars is in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So technically Star Wars is already in the past.
True.
So they couldn't go back in time to samurais.
Maybe they have to go back to the future.
Oh.
That was my Marty. That's the worst Doc Brown I've ever done.
Marty. Darth Vader's a samurai.
That's a good one.
Try not to fuck your mother, Marty.
Oh, I love Back to the Future. Yeah, so everyone was all up in arms and excited about this. Like, oh my God, Zack Snyder, Star Wars, samurais. This is great. And then Zack Snyder's like, hold on, wait, what? Was I high? What? No, I never said that. So I don't know how the rumor got started, but it is a little depressing knowing that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But, hey, who knows? Maybe it will now.
Yeah.
In Star Wars director news, now that Zack Snyder is definitely out, J.J. Abrams is out.
Everybody's out.
Everyone's out. We've gone to Looper director Rian Johnson. I saw Looper, by the way.
Yeah, was it good?
It was... I was going to make a Looper joke like, hey, I'll see Looper yesterday, but get it? Get it? It was good. It was a little confusing, hard to follow.
Yeah.
But it was good.
I just think it would be awesome if Peter Jackson did a Star Wars movie.
Yes.
Or Guillermo del Toro.
Or James Cameron.
Well, he's busy on the yes. Blue Cat planet for the rest of his life.
His Avatar franchise.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson from Looper was asked about it, and he said, I don't think I'm on that list, and even if I was, it would be hard to say no, but he's writing his own stuff, and that's what he likes doing.
Yeah.
So here we have the most epic... I said it. And... It's an amazing franchise for any nerd out there.
Right?
And
nobody wants it!
We're rebooting it. We're going to do this. Disney's got tons of money. We can make it happen. Meh.
Nobody wants to do it. I don't understand.
I wonder if directors are afraid. If they're like, oh, I don't want to ruin that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, because you got to think. You have to live with the stigma of ruining Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I mean, like George Lucas, man. You either... what is that saying? You either... You either live to see yourself become the villain or die a hero.
Yeah, live long enough to see yourself become the villain or die a hero. And it's funny because at one point someone asked Kevin Smith if he would ever do it, and his movie would essentially be Han and Greedo and Chewie in the cantina for 2 hours talking about dick and fart jokes.
Kevin Smith would do that to Star Wars too.
Oh yeah. Like, you can't just pick anybody.
Well, that's gotta be it, too, though, when you think about it. It's gotta be, like, I don't want that responsibility, I don't want to take this, like, I don't want to be the guy that took Star Wars beyond the level that George Lucas took it for the prequels.
Right.
People gotta be afraid, man, because you would think directors would be jumping over this chance. I mean, you might as well just have Samuel L. Jackson direct it, because that guy's all about it.
Oh, yeah, he wants back in right now.
Yeah, so James Cameron out. Ryan Johnson out. Zack Snyder out. J.J. Abrams out. I think Peter Jackson said he wouldn't do it too, right?
Well, he's busy with The Hobbit.
Right, he's not going to be able to do it for quite some time.
Yeah.
We're running out, dude.
Hopefully they still find someone who's decent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they will. They're not just going to let it go to some crazy, you know, first-time director or someone. Maybe Ben Affleck will do it.
Ooh.
I don't know if Ben Affleck could do it.
Yeah, but they could always do, like, the guy who did the Incredibles movie for Pixar. He did, what the hell else did he do? He did the Iron Giant, and he did a live-action movie that was really good. I don't remember what the fuck it was. I will find out.
You're going to look it up.
Keep talking, Bob.
So, Star Wars.
Star Wars. Brad Bird.
Okay.
What the fuck else did he do? He did Brave, Toy Story 3. Okay, that's not helping me at all. That's not who I was thinking of.
Hey, Brave won animated movie of the year.
There we go. Let him do Star Wars.
There we go. I'm really worried because I want to see a new Star Wars reboot.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
That was a good film.
I knew he did a new movie.
That was a very good film.
It's really good. So I think he would be pretty good.
Yeah, I could see it. I want someone good. I want someone I can get behind and really say, you're going to make a great Star Wars saga. You know what I mean? Like a nice franchise.
Exactly. Because you know it's going to be... They've already announced there's going to be six more.
Yes.
Because there's going to be 7, 8, 9, and then 10, 11, 12 is going to be with old Luke and old Leia and old Han.
Right.
Now, so
yeah, it's going to be one of those crazy things to kind of keep an eye on, and hopefully we'll find director news soon so this stuff can start getting going.
Too bad Joss Whedon's busy.
See, now that would be perfect. Joss Whedon would add that sort of nerdy comedy to it. Oh, it would be a completely different Star Wars, don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
But it would be such a good reboot.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about this little bit of Iron Man 3 I got here from Don Cheadle. I got it from him himself. He told me in an interview. Yeah, he called me. He's like, Bob, I just want to tell you a little bit about where Iron Man 3 is going. And he says, and I quote, "The tone is there is more of an existential journey that Tony's on, trying to come to grips with this thing that he created that is creating him too. Who's in control, and what toll does that take on his relationships?" And then a lot of shit blows up. Thank you, Don Cheadle. This is the kind of movie I want to see. Right. We kind of got this from the trailer we played a little while back when we first kind of got introduced to Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. It looks like a lot of, you know, it's after the Avengers movie. What's going to happen to Iron Man 3? He's got this, you know, Iron Man thing, but who's controlling who? You know what I mean?
Right. And there's a toy company, I think it's called Hot Toys, that just released pictures of, like, their new statues for Iron Man 3. And the gold one that you see in all the previews is, like, the mock 28 or some shit like that, but in Avengers he wore the Mach 8.
Right.
Like, so there's going to be... Or, I don't know, it's the Mach 48, and in Avengers he wore the Mach 8. So there's 40 more Iron Man suits that have to be made between these movies.
Yeah, there's some crazy photos out there, too, of, like, you know, you have Gwyneth Paltrow actually holding Tony Stark, but in his Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
There's just so much... Like, it's gonna play that whole, I'm going down this bad path here. This thing is ruining my whole life, but I need to do it.
Right, he's
going to
hit rock bottom.
He is, just like in the comic book.
Yeah.
Because he was a heavy drinker, though, wasn't he, in the comic book?
Oh, yeah, he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, and like he's going to hit rock bottom in this movie and try and find a way out. I'm excited, because Iron Man, out of the Avengers movies, is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I'm glad Don Cheadle's excited about it, too.
Right.
Another piece of Marvel news here. Punisher movie, animated.
Yes.
It's coming.
I'm hoping it's good. I hope that they start doing animated movies like DC's been doing, because DC's been doing awesome animated movies.
But that's just the thing, too. They're really good. They're not just like throwing out an animated movie of a comic book hero you love. These are really good animated movies.
Exactly. The thing that kills me is Thomas Jane really wants to make another Punisher movie.
And I know.
He made a short film, a Punisher short film, where it doesn't say Punisher in it. He's just known as Frank, and he does not wear a Punisher shirt. But have you seen that? It's got Ron Perlman in it, and he beats the shit out of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't just do that, but I think this animated movie has to be rated R.
It's going to be.
It has to be, like, dark.
If they want it to be good, it has to be. And I hate saying that, because I don't need things to be rated R to be good, but it's got to be the Punisher feel to it. It's got to be dark. It's got to be... crazy. There's got to be a lot of, you know, violence in it and stuff like that in order for it to feel like the Punisher.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. I was actually really excited about that because, like you said, DC's been coming out with all these animated movies.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, and Marvel just needs to get back on board with that program.
Yeah, like I just watched Justice League Doom. Yep. It's on Netflix. And it's essentially the this villain hacks into Batman's computer system. And because Batman's always had a plan on how to get rid of everyone in the Justice League in case they turned evil.
Right.
Like he always had a kryptonite ring and stuff like that. Well, this guy hacked into his computer and got all of those ways to destroy all the superheroes and then uses them against them.
That's amazing.
And like Bane beats the shit out of Batman and buries him alive in the coffin with his parents. Like, it's crazy. It's wicked dark, and it's they do everything that Batman would have done to like get rid of everybody. And Batman even has to admit it to the Justice League that they stole his plans, and that's how they knew how to kill him. Like, the Flash got a bomb bolted to his wrist. It went right through his wrist and bolted it to the bone, and if he slowed down, it would explode and destroy like a 30-mile radius.
Really?
And Superman gets shot with a kryptonite bullet right in the heart. And Martian Manhunter is set on fire with a chemical that he can't get it put out because his weakness is fire.
Right.
And he's got a chemical that he drinks that's coming out of his skin like sweat, and it's constantly burning him.
Really?
Like, he's constantly on fire. It's awesome.
Oh,
that's on Netflix.
I want to check that out. Day. Everyone needs to check that out. That sounds amazing.
It's really good.
And other Marvel news again. just a quick little note here for everyone. Joss Whedon is prepping to shoot the pilot episode of the S.H.I.E.L.D. series. And we've got confirmation that it does take place after the events that happened on the Avengers movie.
Which, spoilers, if you haven't watched that movie yet, if you live under a rock, Agent Coulson dies in the movie, but he's in charge in the TV show.
Which was going to be my question to you.
I'm confused. Like,
is he going to be resurrected?
Well, there's rumors all over the internet that he's going to be resurrected as the Vision, which is a cyborg superhero.
Yep.
That kind of looks like the actor who played Agent Coulson. And he comes back, he's a cyborg, so there's rumors all over the place that he's going to become the Vision, which would be him being resurrected for this TV show. And Joss Whedon has gone on to say that this isn't going to be a show full of superheroes, but people will have powers.
Which is so good. I like Coulson it.
Could be a cyborg on this show. We don't know. We won't know until the show comes out, but yeah, you can't kill him and then bring him back for a TV show and not explain it in like the first
episode. Yeah, just the like as soon as I read, the S.H.I.E.L.D. takes place after the Avengers, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Wait a minute.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how can he be in charge if he's dead?
Yeah. Exactly. So that's gonna be interesting. I could see the Vision. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
That would be actually make for pretty cool because he'd be kind of like a guy in charge, maybe a little more powerful than the rest, mm-hmm. not too powerful. You know what I mean?
Right.
And sends the teams out there. Mm-hmm. But we'll keep our eye on that. Shooting the first episode. That's great. We're moving forward. I'm excited.
Yes.
Last bit of news I want you to talk about because you are the man.
I love Batman. So there's a rumor going around that the next Batman franchise is going to be, the movies are going to be based on Arkham Asylum, which would be awesome. Because that's essentially like the Saw movies with Batman in it.
Yes.
Like, because he'd be trapped in the asylum. The hard part is it's not going to be a lot of people. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be villains that he fights and stuff like that, but it's going to be a movie based on a sole character by himself.
Yeah.
Now, so I don't know how they're going to play that off. That would be the hard part.
Yeah.
Unless they just take the story of Arkham Asylum and then just let everyone loose in Gotham, and then he has to fight like a whole rogues gallery of villains.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. Nolan's out. What do you do with the next solo Batman movie? Because you're not going to stop making them just because Nolan's out.
There's two options. Super, super serious, awesome over the Nolan movies.
Yep.
Or turn him into a teenager. Because that's what they do in Hollywood.
That's true.
You can't either that or go back to like the 90s style Batman where it's a little more cartoony and it's got Robin and shit like that in it. Because if you go more serious with this thing, it's going to be rated R.
Oh, yeah, it's going to have to be. And, like, just so people know, too, like, there's all these talks, but there's a bunch of domain names that have been registered mm-hmm. that all have to do with Arkham. Like, Legends, yes. ArkhamKnight.com, Batman Arkham Arises, the Arkham Universe, DC Arkham. Like, these could be video game things.
Right.
But, hey, you never know.
Right.
Where's the series go from here? Arkham Asylum would be a great place. But, like you said, that's like Saw with Batman in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, especially since like the Riddler is essentially Jigsaw in those games.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so. Those are good games too, by the way.
Oh yeah, love them.
All right, well, that's going to pretty much wrap up all those news stories that we have this week. I am very excited because we got an email from someone a couple weeks ago.
We did.
And we're turning this into something epic. But the email is from Zach in Florida. And he writes, "Hey, guys, love the show, and I'm really... And I'm sorry you live in Florida, by the way. Hey, guys, love the show, and I'm really digging the made-up movie segment." And so were we. "You guys are doing and listening..." Or, sorry, yeah, this email is written funny. "Listening to the latest episodes and hearing you defile the McRib..." Weird way to put that, sir. "I wanted to hear a movie where you two dudes are ninjas trying to stop the McRib from ruining the world. If you could do this, it would be, as Bob would say, epic. Thanks, guys." Well, Zach from Florida, I think we did it.
I think so.
I think we did it. We made a movie trailer. We'll talk a little bit more about it afterwards, but here's the first ever behind-the-scenes look of McNinja.
It has been dormant for years. The world has been safe until now.
Hello? Is there anyone here?
A guardian of the world must learn new skills to stop its evil from coming to life.
Ah, that depends, young Ricky-san. Are you ready?
Ready for what? How do you know my name?
All questions will be answered in time. But first, you must wax on, wax off.
An unlikely pairing has brought the student back to the teacher with a singular mission. Stop the McRib before it stops the hearts of those who eat it.
It has been quite some time, young Ricky-san.
I don't have time for these games, Master Boba. I need to stop the sandwich.
Oh, stop the sandwich? Or sandwich stop you?
You don't even make sense.
Are you looking to make sense? Or will sense make looking of you?
What?
Wax on. Wax off.
Bob Fournier as Master Boba.
Oh, now you are truly learning the art of the fanboy fighters.
Rick Piven as Ricky-san.
It's too much. I can't stop it.
Practice. Failure is not an option.
I can't. I'll never be good enough.
And you need to remember, wax on, wax...
Shut up already!
McNinja, stopping the sandwich, part one.
In the name of FXL, I will stop the McRib from spreading its evil across the lands.
What you seek lies behind your eyes.
I really don't get this at all.
There is nothing to fear but pets.
Geek out.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
McNinja, I wrote that script, and I don't get it. Well, Zach from Florida, we did really like your idea. We thought it was great. So what we did, if you listen closely, you heard part one in there.
Yes.
McNinja is officially Fanboys XL's first made-up movie trilogy.
Yes.
Part two will be out probably in the next few weeks, and then part three a few weeks after that. We already got a story lined up for it, and I hope you guys liked that one. That one was a lot of fun to do.
Yes.
I had a very Miyagi Splinter Yoda vibe.
I decided to be whiny Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, it was a really awkward. Like I said, I wrote that script and I don't get it. So yeah. I think it's good.
Also, this just in, whoop, 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 hot off the press. In April, there's a new comic book series coming out called Thanos Rising, which is going to be a prequel to who Thanos is, him becoming a death-loving Titan.
Wow. So
this will probably lead into all the Thanos stuff that's going to happen in the Marvel movies, is my guess.
I love the breaking news, Rick.
Right?
This is great.
So, yeah, so in April, it's going to be Jason Aaron and Simon Biachi are doing the comic. And the cover for the first issue is Thanos, and his face is all like kicked in almost. He's bleeding all over the place and stuff. It looks like it's gonna be good. It's how Thanos became who he is.
Awesome. Well, everyone check that out. That's just in. Yeah. Well, if you're listening to it, it's probably been out for a little while.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's go ahead and get into what we recommend the fine folks to do.
Incoming recommendations.
Rick Piven's recommend this week has a little theme. Who is that amazing band?
That's Hollywood Undead. Their new CD just came out. I think it came out last week. Notes from the Underground. I can't stop listening to it.
That sounds great.
It's like a rap, rock, metal mixture. It's five guys in the group. They all wear masks. And some of the songs are super gangster, and some of them are super metal at the same time. It's
really
crazy.
I've never listened to Hollywood Undead.
It's so good. I love it.
Oh, just from that like 15-second clip, I want to go buy the album.
Yeah, that's good. That's their newest single, too, that I got that clip from. So they have three albums. They have a remix album and a live album. And in the remix album, they do the Immigrant Song from Zeppelin.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and it's awesome.
Wow.
So, yeah, definitely check them out. I love them. And I can't stop listening to them. I'm even slacking on the amount of podcasts I've been listening to lately because I've been listening to this at work all day.
That's crazy. Yeah, that sounded good. If you guys like what you heard, it's Hollywood Undead. What is it? Notes from the Underground?
Notes from the Underground is the newest.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Mine is a little simpler. It's a little iOS game that you probably have played for before. It's called Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
It's on sale on the iOS App Store. I think it was like $2 when I bought it. Still $2, I think, right now.
Yeah.
And have you ever played Scribblenauts?
That's the one where you like write shit and it makes something for you, right?
Exactly.
I played the first one on the DS. Is that the one where you write cow and a cow appears so you can write blue cow?
Absolutely. Cow? It does everything. Like it'll give you like a giant like, oh, you have to get this knight across the room here. How are you gonna do it over the water? And it's like and I did it by scuba tank. And I was like, oh, you also need to kill the shark. And I'm like, oh, toaster. I dropped a toaster into the water, and it killed the shark. And the knight had a scuba tank, so we made it safely across. Like, there's so many endless possibilities to beat every level.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of addicting. I was playing Cut the Rope for a while there.
Cut the Rope is super addicting.
It's super addicting. And then I picked up Scribblenauts. And
have you played Cut the Rope Experiments?
No, I saw it on my Cut the Rope.
It's even better. But right even now,
is
better.
It?
Oh, every world has a new thing. Like one of them, you'll have suction cups. So like when you the rope is connected to a suction cup, and you can lift the suction cup, and it'll fall, and you can suck it back to the wall again, so that it's moved. And I like experiments a lot better. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out because I've been like I'm kind of a completionist. I've been going through and like trying to 3-star every level of Cut the Rope.
Oh, yeah.
Doing pretty well so far in season 2, but I keep seeing this experiments thing pop up, so.
It's good.
Is it? Yeah, but Scribblenauts. It's on iOS. I don't know if it's on Android, but it's a lot of fun. Like, if you're just sitting there, you know, want to kill a little bit of time, be creative, pick that game up. It's normally like $5, so to pick it up for $2 is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We also have a Fanboys food pick.
Yes, we do.
Because I finally ate it.
I haven't eaten it in months.
The cannoli-flavored Ben & Jerry's ice cream. Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Oh, my God.
Explain your love for it, Bob, because I think I talked about it a couple months ago.
You did. And, like, I completely forgot about it until I was in the old Wally World there doing some grocery shopping the other day. And I walked past the freezer section. I saw ice cream. I saw Ben & Jerry's. Wasn't really thinking much. And then it just kind of almost like that whole... Oh, the light shining on. I'm like, oh my God, the cannoli flavor that Rick was talking about.
So good.
I guess I'll try it. So I picked it up and, you know, I left it out a little bit. I like my ice cream not too cold. I don't know. That's a little weird because it's ice cream.
I know some people who, like, throw their ice cream in the microwave for, like, 20 seconds.
Oh, well, let's not get crazy. I don't do that, all right? I just let it out for a second, all
right? I don't do it. I eat it right. I take it right out of the freezer and eat it.
Boom.
I like it a little softer because I can't chew ice cream because the cold hurts my teeth.
Yeah, no, that's why I kind of, like, I let it sit out. Okay, anyway. We'll get on to our ice cream eating techniques in our next podcast. So, first bite. Wow. It tastes just like a cannoli, first of all.
I think that's what they were going for.
Which is Yes, that's the what they were looking for, but in ice cream form. It was amazing.
It's so good.
I hate to admit this, but I ate most of that container.
That's why I haven't had Ben & Jerry's in a couple months since I've been on a diet, because I usually eat the entire container.
Like, you know, normally you don't want to feel like the fat guy, so you have some of that ice cream, then you put it away, and then actually 10 minutes later you take it back out, and you're like, I'm still hungry.
I'm going to finish this.
Yeah, but dude, I was just sitting there, and watching Looper, I believe.
Yeah.
Whatever movie I was watching, Melina, and I just wasn't even paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Gone.
Oh my god, I almost ate all of this. Melina, do you want the rest of this ice cream? You ate it all! Yeah. You guys, if you're a fan of ice cream, or even if you're not, try this cannoli one. I gotta say, it's probably like the best ice cream I've ever eaten.
I love it.
Alright, enough of the food talk, because I'm hungry. Let's go on to the top 10, Rick. And I, as per usual, I have not looked at this top 10 episode, or episode, top 10 list for this episode.
Correct.
All right, so tell me a little bit about it.
All right, it's the top 10 household appliances with surprising alternate uses.
Okay.
So number 10 is a hairdryer. Apparently, when you remove the hair aspect of a hairdryer, you can make fire.
What?
Yeah, it says a blast of hot air from a hairdryer not only warms up your wood and kindling, but also generates a draft by heating up a cold chimney, useful to avoid filling the house with smoke. This trick legitimate enough to even recommend by fireplace manufacturers. The only drawback is trying to explain yourself when someone enters the room and finds you blow-drying a pile of wood.
That's cool.
So apparently it gets hot enough you can start a fire.
Wow.
Number 9 is a microwave. If you want to tie-dye your clothes fast, put it in the dye, throw it in the microwave. It tie-dyes your clothes almost instantly.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And it dries the shirt, too.
Yeah.
So instead of tie-dyeing for hours, you can tie-dye in minutes.
That's crazy.
I've never tie-dyed, but...
You can actually do it, in minutes. That's cool.
Yeah. Number 8 is a rice cooker.
I never heard of it.
You cook rice in it?
Yeah, all right.
But apparently you can also use it for spa treatments.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, let's see.
You put a towel in there?
Yeah. And relax your body and soothe the skin. It's to use it as a towel warming cabinet.
Okay, yeah. I can see that. You put your towel in there, it warms it up, you put it on your body. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a rice cooker essentially steams the rice.
Yeah, it's all steaming.
Yeah. Number 7 is the freezer. Not only does it freeze things, but you can also revive hard drives and clean your jeans.
Remember this one for your hard drive, Rick.
Right, yeah, in case my hard drive goes. Apparently, it can kill dust mites, prolong life of nickel metal hydride, nickel cadmium batteries, which we already knew that.
Oh, absolutely. And
even temporarily revive a crashed computer hard drive long enough to retrieve important data.
That's awesome.
Right? So it's like a mini time machine. But I need 10 minutes so I can get the stuff off my hard drive.
Right? Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
Apparently, you can also put your jeans in there, and it'll kill bacteria, remove a musty smell, and restore the crispness of new denim without fading the jeans.
Wow. Yeah. If you hear a crazy giant monster, it's actually just the... we got some snow going on here.
Ooh.
I got a plow guy outside.
Nice.
He decided he wanted to come in and listen to the podcast.
Nice. Number 6 is a waffle iron, which can also be used to make burgers and cookies.
Now, this is what I'm excited about. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, apparently you can make waffle-shaped burgers.
You can actually make you can cook a burger with a waffle iron.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can bake cookies in it as well. It's weird. I don't know if I would ever try it.
I'm gonna.
Number 5, this one's kind of a gimme. Yeah. An ice cream maker can also be used to make alcoholic slush beverages. Like, obviously, if you don't make it into ice cream, it's going to be a slush.
Right, yeah. I would assume you just kind of, alcohol doesn't freeze or whatever sometimes, right? So you just put that in there. I can see that, yeah.
Make sure you don't get eaten by that giant monster behind you.
Yep, sorry.
Number 4 is the food dehydrator. Can also be used for humidity and aromatherapy.
A food dehydrator?
Yeah, you can act as a humidifier.
Never used a dehydrator. My mom has one.
Yeah.
And she made her own beef jerky, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, if you throw some aromatic plants in there, It can be aromatherapy stuff, and if you have it running, it sucks in water and it humidifies.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. This is the most domestic top 10 list we've ever done.
It's interesting because it's kind of like making me think about stuff. That's yeah. Cool.
Different. Number three, the dishwasher. Can also be used to clean nearly anything.
So I'm a little scared because the picture shows a cat.
It says you can do toys, garden tools, greasy hubcaps. Dishwasher can clean almost anything.
Not
even
a cat?
Baseball caps, and it won't lose their shape.
Nice. So yeah. No, I don't put my cat in there?
Not your cat. Not
okay.
Because it'll probably drown.
All right. Oh, have you ever, and it also says here, but I've heard this before, you can actually cook a salmon in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You wrap it up in tinfoil and put it on.
It.
Yeah, it just steams the whole salmon. I guess it does it perfectly.
Yeah, I've never tried it, nor have I ever really eaten salmon.
Yeah, anyway.
Never wanted to. Number two, the coffee maker.
You All can right.
make dinner with it or brew beer.
I like this.
From the picture, it looks like it's got ramen noodles in there.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because, I mean, the craft and a coffee maker sits on a hot plate.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense. But the beer thing is a little strange to me. You can brew it from cereal.
What?
I don't know. It doesn't explain it. Huh. It says, one particularly thirsty group of oceanographers found out that a coffee maker can also be used to brew beer from cereal.
That's great. I want to try that.
Right? And number one, the vacuum cleaner.
Ba-da-ba!
Can also be used to unclog drains.
That scares me a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm not going to use a vacuum cleaner that sucked shit out of a toilet.
Yeah, and then put it on the floor.
Yeah, gross.
Also, a lot of water in that toilet.
Right.
Their picture shows no water in that toilet.
Exactly.
Huh. Well, that's weird. I mean, it's a very interesting top 10 list because I would have never thought of half of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now
the thing that confuses me is who decided, I wonder if I can tie-dye something in my microwave.
Right.
I was confused by stuff like that. Who is the first person to decide to do something wrong?
Yeah, and that's how it happens, too. Like, some guy's ironing his pants. He's like, I gotta cook my lunch. And then he gets all confused, and he's like, oh, shit, I'm not ironing my pants. I'm ironing my burger. Wait a minute. This sounds good. The rice cooker thing. That's pretty neat. I didn't even know they made rice cookers, so I learned something new.
What do you think they use in Japanese restaurants, Bob?
Pots and pans.
Okay.
No?
No.
All right. Well, that was the top 10 list for this week. We'll have some more next week. I believe we're recording next week, right?
We should be, yeah.
Excellent.
So, and then the week after, the fanboys are rocking it live.
Live together, I will be in Berlin, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. Things happen when we get together.
Yes, they do.
We tend to
geek out.
And
this is epic.
I don't know how you epic, but...
We'll figure it out. All right, Rick, why don't you go ahead on our first episode back in 2013, tell the fine folks where they can find us.
All right, well, you can find us on the web at fxlnetwork.com. You can also go there and /donate, give us a little cash, and maybe we'll make the show even better. You can go over to Twitter and find us at fxlnetwork. You can find Bob at BobberF, and you can find me at Rick Piven. You can go to Facebook at facebook.com/fxlnetwork to check us out there. Emails, as you have seen in the past couple episodes, we keep getting emails. We'll read them on the show. That's fanboysxlpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email with an idea for a made-up movie or a top 10 list you want us to talk about, or even a news idea you want us to talk about, or anything. We'll read it. We're not scared.
I am.
And then head on over to iTunes and shoot us some reviews. We'll read them right on the show.
Five-star reviews help us reviews. Very much.
And yeah, they help us find new listeners.
And we love new listeners.
And that's all I got.
That's all you got. So, thank you guys for listening for that first episode, the first awkward episode back for 2013. For myself, the Plow Guy, Rick Piven, and Rick Piven's Computer Fan.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
See you later.